Hey, back again, Gabe DeOrman from Power Mizzou. No better resource, in my opinion, out there for Missouri football and really all the sports. Gabe, thank you for making the time.
No problem, Mike. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Rocking and rolling. Kind of like the Tigers as they go into Nashville and they're playing the heavy undercard role. I wanted to ask you about that here in a minute. But speaking of underdogs, I do appreciate the fact that, I say some crazy stuff and sometimes I'm not sober when I do it. Probably should not do that. It's probably holding me back. But I swear I was sober when I called out Missouri fans for kind of their kind of like, woe is me and the sky's falling. And I do appreciate you kind of getting that message out to your audience. And it was mostly well received. But my question to you, Gabe, is will Missouri, will they ever shed that? Or maybe is that just kind of like a badge of honor?
God, I'm going to get myself in so much trouble here. And for the record, I also am sober. No drinks for a while now. I have said that there is a pocket of Missouri fans. And I want to be clear, it is not all of them. There are some. They tend to be very online. Who, if they ever actually win a title, I'm not sure they're going to know what to do. Like, they... You know the Cubs fans who, after the Cubs won in 2016, like, you can't show up on opening day with the sign that says, wait till next year anymore. Like, your entire identity is, we don't win, everybody hates us, and I'm going to hate my own team before you can hate my team. And again, I want to be clear, this is a small minority, but they are very vocal. There are some Missouri fans who have spent their entire lives believing that the light at the end of the tunnel is the oncoming train. And in their defense, it sometimes has been, but like, it's going pretty well right now. If you're a Missouri fan, Eli Drinkwitz is, I think, 27-6 in 3 years. I think you've got a pretty good shot to fend off programs that think they're a whole lot better than you are to keep your coach at the end of the year. You got a basketball team that went to the NCAA tournament. It is okay to enjoy things when they are going well.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's going really well. And the fact, Gabe, that we are late into October, it's October 22nd as we're recording this, and Missouri's playoff hopes are alive and well. I think that's another sign of the times there in Columbia. But is it fair? Because in my opinion, this is a playoff eliminator given what's remaining for Missouri. Do you feel that way going to Vanderbilt, Missouri at Vanderbilt, that quite frankly, I think the loser, regardless of who it is, I don't think either one's making the playoff.
In reality, yes, I think you're probably right. I think the loser of this game ends up missing the playoff. Now, mathematically, you know, you still, either one of them has the chance to go 4-0 down the stretch, obviously. You know, Vandy's at Texas and at Tennessee, so their two quote-unquote tough games are on the road, which I think is not great, but I think their two tough games are not as tough as Missouri's two tough games, which is A&M at home and Oklahoma on the road. So I always broke this season into kind of three segments for Missouri. You know, they had five before the first bye. I said you had to absolutely get through those. Well, really the first six, including the Alabama game, I said you had to be 5-1 after those six. And they were. The next three, which is Auburn, Vandy, A&M, if you win two of those three, you know, you go to November or mid-November with a reasonable shot to make the playoffs. So I don't know if this is an eliminator, but it means you have to beat A&M and have to win in Norman, and doing both of those things I don't think is easy, because I think both of those teams are a little better than I thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. And what do you make of, this is twice now. It was yesterday, Tuesday, Drink during his press conference, totally dismissed the game day. They don't want to talk to us. This is all about Vanderbilt. And then I was on the teleconference here on Wednesday. He's basically said the same thing. It's not about us. It's about old Vanderbilt.
College game day is coming to a Mizzou game for the first time in 11 years. They've only covered Mizzou six times. I'm curious, does that amplify the stage itself at all, or does that change anything in preparation or make the game even bigger?
Is it in First Bank Stadium?
I'm not sure where it is this week.
Doesn't affect anything then for us. We're the road team. So we'll show up, we'll go to the visitors' locker room, we'll walk out on the field and play the game. Whatever else they got for their fans there is up to them, but doesn't affect us. I don't even think they want to talk to us.
What do you make of these comments from Drink?
First of all, Drink knows how to play the game, right? He is good at PR, and somebody on our message board said he's got a little Bob Stoops in him, and they're right about that. Bob Stoops once took an article that my dad wrote in the Kansas City Star, but inserted fake quotes into it about how Missouri was going to, no problem, weren't even thinking about Oklahoma, all that, stuck it in the Oklahoma locker room. And like after the game, all the Oklahoma players are talking about all the, and we're like, what in the world are they talking? Well, we didn't even know, so Drink's got a little bit of that in him. And look, this program has, and he has built themselves on playing that underdog role, right? Nobody thinks we're good enough. Nobody respects us, something to prove, all that. And so if he can find an angle to play like that, he is going to find it. Now, I also think, and this is more of a media thing, why are we asking the visiting coach about game day being there? Like, at the most, he's going to do a 3-minute interview with him remotely. Like, it has zero impact on him. He's right. This is the ones dealing with walk and talks and, hey, you got to be out there at 7:30 in the morning on game day and all these things. That's all Vanderbilt. Missouri is going to go to the hotel. They're going to do their walkthrough, have their team breakfast in the morning, and Drink might do a Zoom from the team hotel. That's about the extent of it.
Mm-hmm. How big is this game, you think, for Ahmad Hardy, who, you know, he's everything he was built up to be, but he is coming off Alabama. I think everyone, even Drink, has said, you know, we didn't get him enough touches, and Auburn, which I am, you know, chief among making fun of Hugh Freeze and Auburn. But one thing I can't say is, they do have an elite defensive front, particularly. I don't think Missouri is going to face a better defensive front, perhaps maybe Oklahoma, but maybe that's the only other one. How big is this game for Ahmad Hardy going into Vanderbilt?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're talking all SEC, get your name in the Heisman race, it's huge, right? He has to have 100 and they have to win if those things are going to happen. I was asked earlier today by somebody, which Ahmad Hardy are we going to see? I said, I don't think you saw a different one against Auburn. I think, like, you better see a different offensive line. That's the key, because that group got its lunch handed to it down at Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturday night. And look, unless you are a Barry Sanders, you can't make something out of nothing, man. Like, Ahmad Hardy's three-yard touchdown run was honestly one of the better runs he's had, to get 3 yards out of that. And it took him stretching and using every inch of his body to get it. There was no blocking. Auburn clearly came into that game saying, if you are going to beat us, it is not going to be because of Ahmad Hardy. And I would expect most teams to take that approach. Now, how many teams can do that as successfully as Auburn? I don't know. Like you said, Oklahoma, maybe. I don't think Vanderbilt can. If Vanderbilt is going to devote 7 and 8 guys to making sure Ahmad Hardy doesn't beat them, then I think Bo Prabula has a better chance to exploit that against Vanderbilt than he did against Auburn.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of Missouri fans now, the conversation is, man, do we buy too much Bo Prabula hype? What's your thoughts on him? I know he's early into his career here, but he's been struggling here lately. Again, it's tougher competition. That's what's going to happen to any quarterback. But what's your expectations as Missouri goes into their second road game of the season here?
Yeah, I wrote a thing before the season. Since 2000, no first-year starting quarterback at Missouri has won more than 8 games. And that's part of the reason I picked Missouri to go 8-4. And people got mad at me and said, well, but it's his third year. He's played big games. Like, this is a different deal. I said, maybe you're right. But I'm just telling you, no first-year. Like, there are going to be days where they're going to have to win in spite of him, because that's what happens to first-year starting quarterbacks. I mean, There's one over in Austin right now who was supposed to be way better than this, who's going through it. You know, I think everybody goes through it, except apparently maybe Trinidad Chambliss. You know, apparently he's immune to it. But we'll see. But I also think, Bo, like, during the game on Saturday night, I was kind of with the crowd that was like, he's not playing very well, man. But then you kind of look back at it, and he actually, again, it went back to the line. Like, he made some mistakes, no question. But against Alabama, he made mistakes, and he didn't really balance it out by making plays. You know, he got outplayed by Ty Simpson by a significant amount, and that's why they got beat. Against Auburn, he made a few mistakes, but he also made some big-time plays that, I mean, that 3rd-and-8 throw to Kevin Coleman in overtime that set up their game-winning touchdown, if you go back and watch that, Auburn was bringing everybody, and he took about a step and a half to his left, bought himself one extra second, and made a beautiful throw to set up the go-ahead touchdown, which he scored himself. So they're not asking him to be Superman. You know, this is not Cam Ward from last year where, hey, we're building the whole thing out of you and you got to get us there. This is keep it on the tracks and don't get us beat. And that's really, I think, especially these next couple games, that's the big deal. Like, I don't know if he'll have to win the game, but he cannot lose the game.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, to the angle Drake and them are seemingly playing, this sets up well for him, with all the attention is going to be on Vanderbilt, specifically Diego Pavia. I would say the weakest point of Vanderbilt's football team is their pass defense. So I'm not suggesting Bo's going to have like 300 yards and 5 touchdowns, but if he, you know, if he plays mistake-free football, I think there's an excellent chance that he outshines Diego Pavia, at least from a passing standpoint. Would you buy that?
Yeah, and the other thing is he is probably not Pavia as a runner, but he's dangerous. You know, if you're keyed on Hardy, or if you're keyed on Rushing and you give him a lane, he can take off. He had a 20 some odd yard run against Alabama, had a 26 yard run against Auburn. Like, he can hurt you that way. I think this is going to be, it's going to need to be a game where he plays well. Because I just don't think anybody's going to let Missouri beat them by Ahmad Hardy running for 180 yards. It's like, you know, when you face the San Francisco Giants back in the day, if Jeff Kent beat you, he beat you, but you weren't letting Bonds beat you.
Mm-hmm. What part of Vanderbilt's offense do you think is the biggest concern for this Missouri defense?
I mean, I don't know if there is a team that is more driven by its quarterback in the entire country. Right. I mean, I think he's the leading rusher. I'm not sure about that, but I mean, he is so dangerous, and he's better once the play breaks down and he gets out of the pocket. But so that's the easy answer. But the other thing that I think is huge in this game, I think Vanderbilt might have the best tight ends in America, you know, because Eli Stowers is probably an all SEC guy. He's an NFL player. And I mean, is it Cole Spence? I mean, he was phenomenal against LSU last week. Just I learned many, many times in that game. He's 6'7". I don't know if you know that, 6'7" inches tall, and he used every bit of it to make a few of those catches.
Yeah, if Missouri does win this football game, you know, maybe on a scale of like 0 to 100, 100 being a certainty, what percentage do you think Missouri makes the playoff if they win on Saturday?
Boy. Over 50. I mean, somewhere in that kind of 60% range. Because again, neither one of these teams is in with a win. But the winner of this game is going to be, you know, in everybody's top 8 to 10 on everybody's list on Monday morning. And what it really sets up then is you have A&M at home, and if you win that one, you'll have to fall apart not to make it. Because look, Mississippi State's better, but that has to be, if you want to talk playoffs, that has to be a win. I understand Arkansas is playing teams close, and who knows what they'll be by the last game of the season. But if you're talking about a playoff team, that has to be a win. So their season comes down to Vandy, A&M, Oklahoma, 2 out of 3. And I think if you know, anytime you're playing best of three, you get the first one, that the second one starts to seem a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm. And then, so I have to ask you this, how hard are Missouri fans rooting for Lane Kiffin to take the Florida job? Is that something that's on their radar?
Yeah. I've been telling Missouri fans for a month, just get used to it. If there's an opening, Eli's name is going to be on the list. He's going to get calls. He may even take some of those calls. Based on everything I've heard, I feel pretty good that he's probably going to be at Missouri next year. Obviously things can change that. Hey, we don't know. You know, we've got, I think, 11 openings right now. Who knows what's going to happen at places like LSU and South Carolina and the dominoes that causes everywhere else. I don't particularly see him as a fit at Penn State and Florida. Yeah, he's on their list. He was on their list last year when they were supposed to do this. I think everybody knows Lane is probably at the top of that list. And so if he takes it, it'll never get to drink. If it does, we'll see where it goes. But again, I think, you know, I think you can make the argument he has a job that's as good as that one right now. And I think he realizes that.
Well, and I think it's, you know, this is all fluid. Kiffin could be committed to staying at Ole Miss today. He could be committed to leaving on Sunday. And same for Drink. I have no clue. But do you think it's fair to say that if either one of them makes the playoff, that changes the dynamic in so many ways? One, because Florida has to wait even longer. But perhaps more importantly, if you are making the college football playoff at Ole Miss, if you're making the college football playoff at Missouri, why the hell are you going to Florida anyway? Because, I mean, that's the goal, right? If you can right. If you can make it there at those places, why are you leaving? I mean, I just feel like that changes the dynamic so much for that we could just keep it to Drink here. But if he's making the playoff at Missouri, why would he be leaving anyway?
Yeah, and I think they're both in the same situation of, like, if they leave, it's not about money. It will only be about, I think I can win a title at place X and I don't know if I can do it here. That's it. He has been in the mix for, you know, if this playoff existed 2 years ago, they're in. Last year, they didn't get in, but they were in the conversation most of the year. This year, they're going to be in the conversation at least into November. Now, the key is kind of got to break that door down at some point, right? Like this kind of feels like a big 5 weeks to me, because a lot of things have lined up and you've had that chance and you never know if you're going to have the chance again next year. So I think you've got to take advantage of it. But yeah, I think a lot of people that follow college football have had a really hard time shifting their mindset and understanding that what was true in 2019 doesn't matter anymore. Now, I mean, 10 years ago, if Florida and Penn State are open and Eli Drinkwitz is on that list, I already have my hot board ready. And I've already told my board, guys, enjoy the next 6 weeks because you ain't keeping him. But that's just not the case anymore. I mean, Kurt Cignetti just chose to stay at Indiana. And I understand he's 65 years old. You know, you're having a legitimate debate. Would Lane stay at Ole Miss? Would Drink stay at Missouri? So they may both leave, but at least it's a tougher answer than it's ever been before.
Mm-hmm. And this was right out of Drink's playbook from last week during his media availability, where he said there is no such thing as journalistic integrity on social media.
How do you compartmentalize, like, all the rumors and all the talk and the fact that your name will pop up various places?
Yeah. You know, I kind of referenced it this. I got problems of my own. You know, and I think the number one issue right now amongst college football is the noise that's associated with people's programs at all points of the season, whether good, bad, or indifferent. There's no such thing as journalistic integrity on social media. There's just wild, outlandish reporting. And anybody's name, I'll bet every sitting head coach has been listed as a candidate for some job so far. And it, you know, as a team, as a coach, we got to ignore the noise and focus on the things that we can control, which is winning and losing football games. You know,
yeah. I just want to shout out. I was unaware of this outlet. I highly respect them. Turns out they have me blocked, Gabe. So I just want to read this to you. Shout out to Gators Network. Update: Drinkowitz and Louisville Jeff Brohm continue to come up in conversations with industry sources. I'm very fascinated to know who their sources are regarding Florida's vacant head coaching position. According to Bleacher Reports, Joseph Zucker citing On Three's Pete Nankos, Kiffin number one. However, according to Nankos, your reaction to all that?
Well, so the best part of that is you don't know who Gators Network sources are because they don't have any, because they are tweeting about a report from someone else's source. It's ridiculous. Like, what the, like, once upon a time, many, many moons ago, I went to journalism school and learned some things that no longer seem to apply to the world I work in today.
All right. Well, I think that's a perfect place to cut it. Gabe, thank you so much for your time. Before you go, can you remind my audience how to follow you and how to find all your work?
Yeah, PowerMizzou.com. We're on 24/7 Sports Network. It's PowerMizzou.com on Twitter. And, you know, we will just be retweeting the most ridiculous coaching mill rumors we can find, whether they apply to Eli Drinkwitz or not, for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, and you guys also, I mean, all the work you guys do is fantastic, but I truly love the post-game reactions. Gabe goes live, and they have callers, and I don't think those are vetted at all, because they say some wild things, and it's I actually had Cousin Shane call in last year. You played it on there. It was pretty awesome.
The minute we start screening the post-game voicemails, that show sucks. Like, I don't want to do any of that.